Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us at the Central and Janesville podcast. Please remember to check us out on centraljanesville.com throughout the week. We're excited for wherever God's got you at right now, and we hope this message brings you a little closer. Thanks. I want to start off asking you if you've ever, if you feel like you've ever been superstitious as a person. One of my favorite quotes from a guy named Michael Scott from The Office is, "I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious." And I really like that one. I don't know if you ever felt like you do things that you don't necessarily need to do, thinking that it's going to make your life better somehow, but it really doesn't do anything to make your life better. I've said this before. One of my biggest superstitions when I was a kid growing up, I didn't want to have nightmares. And so to keep myself from having nightmares, I figured I needed to have the best smiling face looking at me in the mirror before I went to bed. And so I would stand there for 10, 20 seconds giving myself the best million-dollar smile. And now I have a $1 million smile. Like, I worked on it a long time. And then I would turn the light off real quick, and I'd go to bed hoping that that smile would keep me from nightmares. And it's weird. That's why I only do it once in a while now as an adult, because it's a little awkward. But if you're an athlete, you probably know about superstitions. As a basketball player, I can't tell you the last time where I ever left a basketball court without making my last shot. If you're a basketball player, you probably know what that's all about. I felt like if my last shot would be a miss and I left, something awful was going to happen to me that day. I was going to go out to the parking lot and somebody ran into my car or something. And so those superstitions, they kind of proceed. But I'm about to tell you something. Now, I have to admit, I don't know if this is necessarily as much a superstition as it is a phobia. But I'm about to open myself up to you right now. This is digging deep, and you could very much use this against me and make my life awful after this. And so please be kind to me. But I have a phobia, and I don't like to say it out loud because once people know, they can make me uncomfortable just about any time, and I'm already starting to get anxiety right now. This phobia is I have a weird phobia that my sternum or breastbone is going to be ripped up out of my body. I know, you're like, that seems crazy. I know, that's why it's a phobia. I don't understand why I have this. But see what I'm doing right now? I am pushing down on my sternum because when I start to talk about it, last night I was listening to this sermon while I was on a run with my daughter. And as we're running, I'm sitting here going like this. Because when I talk about it, bad things happen. If I go to a hospital or there's medical things happening, I feel like my sternum's going to be ripped out. And so the worst thing when I actually got a knee surgery, you'd think the knee surgery part was the worst part. It was actually laying in bed, and because a medical thing was happening to me, the whole time I felt like this was about to be ripped out. And so I'm going like this all night long, and it's just anxiety. I am shaking talking about this, you guys. It's really uncomfortable for me. And I actually looked, and one time I found that it is a real phobia. There was a name for it, and then I started Googling it, trying to figure it out so you guys wouldn't think I was too crazy. Couldn't find it, but I kept on reading stuff about what if your sternum sticks out too far, and I'm going like this the whole time. Worst part was my daughter, Sadie, she found out about this, and so now she'll just go and she'll look at me, she'll go, "Dad," and I can't even do it. She'll take her finger on herself and she'll go up like that on her sternum, and she knows it right away. I go like this. It's so uncomfortable, you guys. Please don't get up and walk out realizing how disturbed I am as a human, okay? But there's nothing that me pushing down like this is going to help me. If my sternum's going to get ripped out, it's going to get ripped out. And what's the point of me saying all this? We talk about weird superstitions, and what is the point of me saying this? It's because sometimes our spiritual lives become nothing more than superstitions to try to get ourselves right with God. A lot of the things that we do become very religious in nature, and it's nothing more than superstition. We do things that Scripture never tells us anything about. It has nothing to do with the gospel, has nothing to do with what the good news about Jesus is. And so we live these lives, kind of these spiritual lives of superstition. Maybe you think it doesn't matter what you think about God as long as you're really sincere in what you think about God. But if that's the case, then you're trusting in your sincerity. That's all it is. Maybe you think that as long as you do enough really, really good things, you're going to be okay with God. It's going to be your free ticket to God, your free ticket to heaven. The question is, how many good things is it actually going to take for you to get to that place? Maybe you think, if I would just give up everything that makes me happy and sacrifice everything in my life, God's gonna see that and he's gonna reward it. How awful do we have to make our lives to get to that place? Maybe you think, I'm not as bad as a lot of the people I know. God has got to be happy about me. When he's looking at everybody else and he sees me, he's got to be happy. But is that how we want to live our lives spiritually in comparison to other people? Is that where we want to put our hope, just hoping that I am less awful than the mass of the rest of the world? Or maybe you do all the church things. You got baptized, you serve at church, you're at church every week. But is that really the answer to having a relationship with Jesus? And this is where the beauty of this story of Easter, I think, comes in for us. I've been looking for the last month at all these characters that lead up to the story of Easter, Jesus rising from the dead. And today, though, the whole story is about Jesus. The story of Jesus is that Jesus did something spectacular. Jesus did something that nobody expected that he was going to do. And he did something that, while we live these lives of spiritually just trying to do everything we can so that bad things aren't going to happen, so that we're in the best place we can, Jesus did something spectacular that only Jesus can do himself. It is so tempting for us to think that we can go out and do everything that we possibly can to make ourselves right with God. But it was only something that Jesus could do for us. There's nothing that you and I can do to get in a right spot with God. It's only what he could do. So today, as we're looking at this amazing story, there's a couple questions that I want you to be thinking about in your head. You're going to see them on the screen here. These questions are, what do I really believe about my relationship with God? Do I believe that I need to do all the work to make myself right with God? Or do I believe that there's something completely transformational that happened in Jesus' death and resurrection? Do I believe that something transformational happened? I think the answer to those questions, it's going to matter for us on so many different levels in our lives. Do you ever struggle with guilt? I don't know about you, but I struggle with guilt from time to time. And the truth is, when I struggle with guilt, it shows that there's something that I'm not believing about the good news of Jesus in that moment. Do you struggle to love people well? When you struggle to love people well, there is something about the good news that you are forgetting in that moment. You struggle with an up and down relationship with God. It is because so much of the time, our hearts and our minds are going in and out of remembering what the good news about everything that we're about to talk about is all about. One of my favorite pastors, Timothy Keller, he often would say that you got to keep preaching the gospel to yourself over and over and over again because we forget it. My prayer is that for every single one of us, this good news would absolutely change everything about the way that we look at our lives. And so here it is. Here is the story of Easter. This is the part of the story that I've been waiting for about a month now to be able to tell you guys. We got to set the stage here, okay? So Jesus has been killed. He was tortured. Tortured in ways that you and I could never understand. He was beaten. He was whipped. And the things that they would whip him with, they would grip into his skin and his skin would get torn off. Crown of thorns was placed on his head. They put nails into his wrists and into his feet. And then they left him to die on a cross. And as he's on that cross, he's literally gasping for breath until he no longer can get that gasp of air. And so early evening on Friday, he dies on that cross. And they take him down from the cross and they put him in a tomb. And all day Saturday, his followers are mourning his death. Sunday morning comes, and there's some women who are very close to Jesus. They decide that they're going to go to the tomb, and they're going to prepare his body. And they get to the tomb, and something happened that none of them were expecting. We're looking here at Luke chapter 24. We're starting in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. He is not here, but he is risen. I don't think that there have been more important words that have ever been spoken probably throughout world history. These words changed everything. Can you imagine being one of those Marys or Joanna and hearing these words from these two men that were dressed in white? And they had been warned. They had been warned by Jesus that this is exactly what was going to happen. Jesus had told them and told his disciples time and time again, I am going to die, and 3 days later I'm going to rise from dead. And they still didn't get it. Now, if we're going to be honest, I can understand maybe a little bit of why they wouldn't understand. Jesus used to talk in parables all the time. In those parables, it was like speaking to them in gray rather than black and white. They were always trying to decipher, what is it that Jesus is saying to me? My wife gets on me all the time because I do this to my kids. I joke around with them and I say things that obviously aren't true. And my youngest daughter, she's like, is that real, Dad? I'm like, yeah. And I keep it going. And she's like, stop doing that. They are never going to believe what you say if it's not black and white. Jesus, I don't know if it was the parables that he spoke to these disciples for years and years. They heard him say, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead. And they couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp it. But other than those words, he is not here, he is risen, there's another statement in this passage that I think is almost as awesome. Verse 8, it says, then they remembered his words. There came a point where these women, it all of a sudden dawned on him that Jesus told us exactly this thing. They remembered exactly what Jesus had told them, that he was going to do this. He really was not in that tomb any longer. They came and they saw nobody in there, and it wasn't just that he had been taken away, he had actually risen from the dead, and they had finally figured it out. These words are the beginning of the good news for us. And really, it's the one thing that we are asked to make a response to. This is the thing. If you are wondering, what is the thing that God is asking out of me, responding to this statement of he is risen, will you believe those words? Will you believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead? Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Everything else that we believe, everything else that I do to try to make myself right with God, every way that I try to make myself a little more perfect, it is a false gospel. It is a false good news. It is me trying to do the thing that Jesus has already chosen to do for me by going to the cross and then rising from the dead. Jesus is asking for one thing from us to be healthy in our relationship with God. Believe in him, believe in his resurrection, believe that he actually did the work to make you right with God that you can never do yourself. Sometimes we just flat out make it too hard. What is it that God is asking me to do? We treat it like it's the biggest test that we've ever taken in our lives. My oldest daughter is getting close to ACT test time. I think she's taking it this month. And I can sense in her talking about it, she's already getting a little nervous. Here's the crazy thing. I don't know if you know this. If you don't have kids that are in, like, college age, you maybe don't know this, but most colleges don't even care about the ACT or SAT anymore. They're like, yeah, you don't really need to take it. And yet she's still going to take it. She's still nervous. And I think that's a little bit what it looks like for us when we are trying to do what God asks us to do. It's like we're trying to study so hard for this big test, and we don't know all the answers to it. And God has given us this test, and he's like, just put your name on it, and I'll take care of it. That's how easy he's actually trying to make this for us. He wants to make it so easy for us to get to him. But we go around, and we do almost all the things except for the one thing, the exact thing that he's asked us to do. We have to give up thinking that it's all on us. And we have to realize that Jesus took it all on himself. I tell you, one of the things that I think is the saddest thing for us as believers is us not knowing how easy it is to have a relationship with Jesus. The amount of times that you'll talk to somebody and be like, well, are you doing right with God? Well, I'm doing all the right things. Or maybe they're saying it the opposite way. No, I've really been struggling, man. I haven't been doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing. And we always put it back to, what am I doing? The real ticket with what the gospel is all about is, what's Jesus done for us? Believing that Jesus died to forgive us, that he rose from the dead. I'll be honest with you. That's not always the easiest thing to believe. It is not easy to believe this incredible story. That if you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know how all these people are believing this story about Jesus. It seems too far-fetched. It seems messed up to me. I'm gonna just tell you, you're not alone. The disciples themselves, when these women came to tell the 11 disciples what had just happened, that they saw that Jesus had risen from the dead, they couldn't believe it. They were told time and time and time again that that's what Jesus was gonna do. And they couldn't believe it. And I would imagine that for every person in here this morning who says, I'm a follower of Jesus, if you've taken your faith in Jesus all the way into your adult lives, there is a good chance, if I ask for a raise of hands, how many of you have ever struggled with this question, is this really true? And that's popped into your head, probably every single one of our hands would go up. I know for me, even as a pastor, there are times where you're just sitting there and you're going, man, this story seems crazy. Did Jesus really do this? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Luke 24:12, talking about those disciples, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. You are in okay company if you're here this morning and you don't know what to believe about this story. The Bible says that Jesus showed himself after his resurrection to over 500 different people. And I've often thought, man, I wish I was one of those people. It'd have been really easy to believe in Jesus if I could have seen him after he was alive. But I'll tell you what, they probably would have thought afterwards, like, I didn't see that. Like, that was a figment of my imagination. I don't care what it takes. Every single one of us, if we're going to believe this story, it is going to take at least some amount of faith. I cannot prove to you scientifically that Jesus rose from the dead. I can't walk you to a tomb and Jesus is not there. I cannot show you videotape of Jesus walking around alive right now. Man, it would be nice if I could. It'd be so much easier. I cannot prove to you scientifically that Jesus rose from the dead. Here's what I can show you. I can show you changed lives. My life has been changed by Jesus. People who follow Jesus, in this room, there are people whose lives have been dramatically changed by Jesus. Every single one of us have been dramatically changed by the life of Jesus. I may not be able to prove it to you. I think there's a lot of evidence. Don't get me wrong. I think there is a ton of evidence that this story about Jesus is true. But I can't scientifically prove it to you. It is going to take some level of faith for every single one of us here today. And so we're asking this question, what do you really believe about your relationship with God? And I want to couple it with a second question. Do you believe that Jesus can bring life from death? Do you believe that Jesus could actually rise from the dead and bring life? That was the very question that Mary and Joanna and all these disciples had to decide on for themselves. Do I believe that Jesus could actually do this? Can he bring life out of death? And here's why it's so important. If Jesus can come back from the dead, there is no stopping anything that he can do. If Jesus can bring life out of death, there is nothing he can't do. Do you believe that he can bring forgiveness for your sin? Do you believe that Jesus can help you with your problems, that he can heal you where you find yourself broken right now? Do you believe that what he did on the cross can bring security for your future in a way that nothing else and no one else can bring you? See, when the disciples realized that Jesus had actually walked out of that tomb, everything changed for them. From that moment forth, nothing was the same. See, these guys were depressed over Jesus' death. We come in here today and every single person I've talked to is like excited. It's Easter. There's just something about it. You can't help but have a smile on your face. Tell you what, early Easter morning, before they realized that Jesus walked out of the tomb, these guys were depressed. They assumed that everything that they had believed in Jesus, all the faith that they had put in him, that it was all done. They had expected something and it didn't happen, and their faith was gone. But a risen Jesus changed literally everything for these people. A risen Jesus meant that they no longer had to be perfect. It meant that they didn't have to follow a religion that was dependent on them. They now, their religion got to be a relationship with the one who had risen from the dead. The one who had power. They realized that there was a power in this man who is also God. A power that they never had assumed was there. Something completely, drastically changed. And here's what I want you to know. The thing I want you to walk away with today is this. Jesus doesn't just want to save you. He wants to heal you. Jesus doesn't want to just save you. He wants to actually bring healing to your life. See, life out of death, I think, is one of the greatest themes of Jesus. It's probably a term that if you come here often, you've heard me say plenty of times before, that Jesus brings life out of death. He brings us life. And along with that life, what happens is healing comes with it. That is a story that we see through Jesus time and time again. Looking back in John chapter 11, Jesus heals a friend of his, a guy who was dead, a guy named Lazarus, and he brings him back to life. It wasn't just about a future healing that he was trying to bring Lazarus. He brought him a healing right now. There was a woman at the well that I talk about a lot because I love her story. She was outcast to everybody in the town. Divorced 5 times, and Jesus, with his love and acceptance, he changed her outlook on the past of her life. He brought healing. It wasn't just about making her future, her heaven better. It was about doing healing right here and right now. There's a woman who was walking around with a medical condition for like 12 years. She had spent all her money going to doctors, and they couldn't do anything for her. And all she did is she went up to Jesus, and she touched the hem of his robe, and she was healed instantly. Jesus is not just about saving you for something future better. He is about healing you right now. If you're at a place where it seems like all your hope is lost, Jesus doesn't just want to save you right now. He wants to give you total healing from the inside out. And I know even saying that, if you're hurting today, you're in a rocky place, even hearing that, doubt and speculation probably just rose up within you right now. But do you believe that Jesus can bring life out of death? It's not just that Jesus wants to save you so you can go to heaven one day. Jesus wants to make your life full of life. It is the theme of Jesus to make every day of your life so full of life before you even get to heaven. I love how Timothy Keller says it like this. Salvation is not merely forgiveness and admission to heaven. It means life is healed slowly but surely in all its dimensions. If you woke up excited today, it's because you realize that's the Jesus that you're following. That Jesus has an ability to bring life to you and heal you in every area and dimension of your life. This is why the women got so excited and they ran to go tell the disciples what had actually happened. Because something had changed. I have a friend who I was listening to his sermon this last week, and he was talking about how the way that we talk about the gospel, the way that we talk about the good news of Jesus, it's not the same way that Jesus talked about good news. A lot of times when we talk about the good news, we talk about it as our way to get to heaven. I was driving by a billboard this week, and all it said on it is, are you going to heaven? And can I be honest with you? There's something about that sometimes that feels a little bit ugly to me. Like, all we care about with God is that I'm going to get from God what I want from God. I don't want you to be here today because you're scared about going to hell. I want you to be here today because you are excited about the life that Jesus is able to give you right here, right now. We shouldn't be living in fear of hell. We should be excited about the life that Jesus actually has for us right here, right now. Treating Jesus like he's just a ticket to heaven, there's something kind of gross about that. It's almost like that superstitious part of us where we just want to bring the things into our life that'll make it good, however it's going to take to do that. But see, when Jesus talked about the good news, it wasn't so much about getting to heaven. It was about bringing heaven here to earth. I love how Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, they were asking him, hey, how should we pray? And Jesus said to them, here's how you should pray. Pray these words, Father, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Part of Jesus bringing life out of death is he is able to bring life into this deathly life that we sometimes are living. For Jesus, the good news, the gospel, is all about us finding this relationship with Jesus that brings life, the life of heaven to earth right now for us today. He wants to bring life to you. He wants your life to look different today than it did, than it looked yesterday. That's the reason that we celebrate today. Jesus brought life out of death. Jesus has the ability to bring life out of death in your life. The power of his resurrection, it is not just meant to resurrect your dead body one day so that you go to heaven. It is meant to resurrect our dead spirits right now today so that we live a life full of peace and joy and goodness. I don't want to trick you though and make you feel like I'm saying that your life is just going to get easy. That's never what it's going to be. I look at these disciples and out of these 11 disciples that were left after Judas went and hung himself after he betrayed Jesus, out of these 11 disciples that were left, 10 of them died a martyr's death. All 11 of them faced incredible persecution, but here's the thing about them. They continued day after day after day to live with hope and to live with life. These dudes' lives were not looking great as far as our standards go. They had a rough life, but they lived with such a vibrant lifestyle of going to people and telling them the good news of Jesus. They were filled with hope. They didn't live in the hopelessness that you and I find around ourselves every single day while we're in this world. They had a purpose and they had a hope that transcended every circumstance of their life. And I'm telling you what, that's what I want for my life. I want to experience life that can't be defeated by the death around me. I want to experience life that can only be found in Jesus. See, Jesus holds the keys to life in a way that you and I could never have imagined, just like these disciples couldn't have imagined. He holds the key to your joy when all the circumstances in your life seem awful. He holds the key to forgiveness when you feel like you've gotten to a place where you have been hurt one too many times to continue to walk in forgiveness. He holds the key to love when you have experienced hurt and ridicule and hate time and time and time again. My hope today is that we experience the life of Jesus, because this life is powerful. And I think every single one of us here, we have a next step that we might be able to make today. Today, maybe you're in a spot where you have never gotten to that place where you have chosen to believe this story that I'm admitting to you, it's a hard story to believe sometimes. Someone rising from the dead. I get it. It's a hard thing to believe. But maybe you've never said, you know what? I want to step out in faith and believe who Jesus says he is. I want to experience the life that I can experience in Jesus, a life of forgiveness, a life that is powered by his grace and his mercy. Here's the thing. If that's you today and you've never made that decision, it's super easy. All you have to do, the Bible says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you're saved. That's all he's asking you to do. Just confess that he's your Lord. Some of you have done that. And as I'm talking through this sermon, you're like, Kellen, I have not experienced the life that you are seeming to talk about. My life is hard. My life is difficult. Maybe your next step this morning is to step out and pray a prayer. It says, God, the despair that I feel, the struggle that I go through, I'm not experiencing this life out of death experience that you say is for me. I'm going to tell you, one prayer is usually not going to magically just change everything. I was talking to a buddy this week about a struggle that he's going through, and he's like, I should be better. I'm like, you know what? In this life, we are going to struggle. God is not asking you to be perfect. God is not asking you to experience his amazing life out of death kind of feel every single moment of every single day. But as we pray and we ask God, God, empower me with the resurrection power of life that is obviously yours to give to us. Little by little, he's going to start to give you that life. I believe it. This is not just an offer that applies for you to be able to get to heaven one day. Jesus has life for you right here, right now, this side of heaven. So wherever you're at this morning, and I'm right there with you, I don't always experience this amazing, beautiful life that I think Jesus has for us because I take my eyes off of Jesus. I start to think that it's all dependent on me, that everything that I do is what matters. But ultimately, I need to go back and I need to look at the cross and I need to look at that moment where he came back from the dead and realize the power is in Jesus. The power for a resurrected life is in Jesus. And when I keep my eyes on him, all of a sudden, I start to experience life. Do you want to experience life this morning?
Thanks again for joining us on the Central in Janesville podcast. Remember to check us out at centraljanesville.com. Have a great week.